Guys, give it up to the worship team. They have such an amazing heart to lead you guys in worship and to be able to join with you in worship, and what a sweet spirit it was. That almost sounded preacher-like, right? It was. Well, hey, so last night I was telling Jessica that before I went to bed, I decided I was, because we're getting older. I wouldn't say we're old, right? She's snarling her nose at me. We're not getting old, Kaylee. We've been going to bed pretty early. We've been getting in bed 7:30, 8 o'clock. Paige gives us a hard time, and then Jessica shuts the light off while we're watching a show, and my eyes immediately go out. And so last night I decided to go in and make me a double shot espresso. Keith, we got this new espresso machine, and the extraction is amazing. It'll make hair grow in places it shouldn't grow. So anyway, Paige goes, "So, I meant your armpits and your hair, your legs and stuff, maybe your ears." But anyway, so last night I went in there and I thought I was finished with my message, Pastor Keith, and I sat down and I made this shot of espresso, and I ended up sitting in there till midnight, revising it for like the fifth or sixth time, and then went to bed, going to go to sleep, and I ended up laying there with my heart throbbing out of my chest because I normally don't drink coffee that late at night. So if I stutter with my words, please forgive me. I got like 2 hours of sleep last night because I woke up at 5:30 this morning to yet again edit it. And so anyway, we're going to get started here. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, it's an honor and a pleasure to be able to be up here and be able to speak with you guys. I'm extremely humbled that God uses the most unqualified at times to be able to bring His word. And I just want to be a willing vessel for God in that situation. I got to tell you, I'm extremely proud of our pastor and our group that's in, Ecuador, and they're bringing the love of Christ to a land that, you know, people are amazed that somebody would travel that far, right? They don't have nothing to offer us. They're not going to give us any great checks. They're not going to donate to the church. We're not going to be able to build an extra 3 churches because of what they're doing over there. They're literally just going selflessly to take the love of Christ to people that truly, truly need it. So anyway, I want to pray real quick over that trip and their service, whatever they're doing today. So if you guys would join me. Dear Heavenly Father, dear God, we love our church family. God, we thank you that you send us out to meet the lost where they stand, dear God. God, we thank you that you're such a caring and loving God that you would lay on our hearts those that are maybe undeserving or by human standards, dear God, that don't deserve our attention. But God, you love each and every one of us. And God, we thank you for calling us to the deepest, darkest parts of this world. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So today we're going to talk about the wilderness, oddly enough. So last week, Pastor Jeff spoke on evangelism. And as he was speaking, on my way to church last week, I was praying, God, give me something for next week. Well, it just so happened, everything he talked about was what I was going to talk about. So it was good, not in a bad way, but it was God qualifying what he had given me for today. So this kind of builds off of what Pastor Jeff was talking about last week. Let me ask you something. Have any of you guys ever woke up, even as Christians, after you become a Christian? Say, I've been a Christian for quite some time now, and I'm a little bit embarrassed to say that there was times in my life where I woke up and I had allowed myself to get in a place in my life that I felt like I was lost in the wilderness, didn't know how. I knew how I got there. That's the thing. I always knew how I got there. I knew the path that I took in, Pastor Keith. I knew how I got there. And you know what? I didn't leave any breadcrumbs because I couldn't figure out how to get back out of it. Listen, if you're in here tonight or today, there it is again, tonight. If you're in here today and you say, listen, Pastor John, there's been times in my life that it wasn't intentional. I just woke up in a place that I didn't want to be. And I didn't know how to get out of there. This message is for you today. Listen, some of these times I've ended up in this wilderness, it was my fault. Kevin, sometimes it wasn't my fault. right? It was actions of maybe somebody else, or maybe you got in a car wreck, or maybe things just happened in your life to lead you down a place where it felt like it was dragging you deeper and further into this wilderness. Listen, I don't know about you, but for me as a human, I love to push the limit. Ask my wife, right? I love to push the limit. I love to ride right on the edge, maybe with comments like hair growing in places it shouldn't grow and stuff like that, but I love to push it right up to the edge. And as humans, we have a tendency to go after these things that may be a little bit dangerous, but we want to see if we can do them and then pull out right before there's any implications. My dad has a saying, and he said this to me all my life, I think, and so I'm going to use it today. Listen to me, church. Sin will take you farther than you ever want to go, keep you longer than you ever want to stay, and cost you more than you ever want to pay. I'm going to read you something out of James 1, 14 and 15. I didn't give this to him this morning. It was in one of my latest edits. It says this. It says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire. Sorry, I probably ought to put my glasses on. Says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Thereafter, desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin conceived, it gives birth. I'm sorry, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Listen to me, church, there's a group of people out here in this world. Maybe look around. There's maybe somebody in this place here today that has gotten themselves in a situation. Maybe it started with a thought, and maybe it grew into sin, and maybe it grew into something else. And tell, listen, if we don't stop this thing, if we don't save this person, it will give birth to death. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And today, as we talk about it, listen, one man's wilderness is another's divine appointment for a prophetic encouragement. You say, oh, here's that old preacher, man, he's going to talk about prophecy. Listen, I want to get weird on you, but anytime I say to you, sir, listen, you're looking amazing and today is going to be a great day, that's a prophetic encouragement, right? I'm speaking to you and I'm telling you things that are not yet to be, but if I continue to speak them, I believe in my heart that you're going to experience them. And today we're going to talk about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an amazing man, right? He was born, and when it says when he was born filled with the Holy Spirit. And this man was filled with the Holy Spirit. Before that, his dad prophesied over him and said, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, prophesied and said, this son, this man will be a prophet. Right? He was also prophesied about in Isaiah that the spirit of Elijah would come before Christ. And Christ later on says that John the Baptist was absolutely the spirit of Elijah and a prophet and multiple things. John the Baptist, see, in today's standards, John, you would think that John was fit to be maybe the shepherd over the grandest church in America, right? The biggest mega church you could imagine, preaching to the richest people, meeting the needs of those that would absolutely bless him and live a lifestyle that was so amazing that it wouldn't be second to none. See, Jesus said that John the Baptist, born of man, there was no other greater than he. But John the Baptist, being this man of high account based on Jesus' account of him, chose to reduce himself and become humble so that he could spend his time in the wilderness and reach the lost of this world. That's what we're going to talk about today. Church, today my desire isn't to get up here and you walk home and you go home and say, you know what? That was an amazing service. Made me feel all warm and cozy inside. Today, I want to implore you to use prophetic encouragement to meet the needs of those around you. See, in my life over these last couple years, there's been times in my life where, you know, I felt like, anybody ever feel like giving up? You know, there's been times in my life where I was like, you know what? I should have counted the cost. This is way too much. And it seems like in the deepest, darkest times where you're just ready to kind of step off of the edge, you get this phone call. Right? Or you get this text. And one time specifically, I was sitting around and, you know, I was contemplating on what it would look like if I walked away from ministry. And, man, God, I'm just inadequate in a lot of different ways. And all of a sudden, I get this message. And this message begins to encourage me from somebody thousands of miles away, encouraging me and speaking life into me. Right? They were speaking prophetically encouragement into my life. And whenever I got up and I walked out of there, I thought, you know what? I can do this thing. You know what? I'm not giving up. Satan's not going to win this battle. I will continue and I will do it. And you know what? Doggone, the next day, I'm like, I can't do this, Pastor Keith. You know what? This is tough. And then I get a call from a good buddy from here in church, and he says, John, you know what? God told me you're going to baptize me. And I'm like, what? You know, I've made mistakes in my life. Since I've been a Christian, I probably shouldn't be the one baptizing you. But he said, you know what? Late last night, God told me you were going to baptize me. So he was speaking prophetically into my life. Then he comes up to me one day and he says, John, God told me to ask you, who are you? What do I do with that? I'm Juan Gato, right? I'm John. No miedo. Juan Gato está aquí. I'm here. Don't fear. John's here, right? No. So I'm scratching my head. What do you mean? Who am I? I'm John. I'm John Fowler. And so his daughter loves to call me John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer. So I said, you know what? I'm John the Baptizer. Who are you, church? One thing that impressed me about John the Baptist is he did this. They come to him and they ask him, they said, John, who are you? He said, I tell you who I'm not. I'm not Jesus Christ. They said, well, if you're not Jesus Christ, are you Elijah? He said, no. So, well, if you're not Elijah, are you a prophet? He said, no. He said, I'm a voice crying out in a wilderness. Right? John was all those things, see? John had the anointing of the Holy Spirit since he was a baby. John was prophesied that he was a prophet. John wasn't just a prophet, but Jesus Christ said that he was the spirit of Elijah. And when they said, who are you? Are you Jesus? You know, he could have had a big head and said, I'm not Jesus, but you know what they say about me? I'm the second best thing behind Jesus Christ. Are you a prophet? Yeah, not only am I a prophet, but I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit since I was an infant. Are you Elijah? Yeah, I'm Elijah. You know what he does? He says, it's best that I decrease so that my God can increase. So this morning, you know, I hate crying, dadgummit, and then people like this come up to me this morning. I'm probably my worst critic. So I sit around and I beat myself up about what I write in these sermons, and I wonder if it's the right thing. God, is this really what you want me to speak about? Let me read you this scripture and I'm going to tell you a story. In John 3, 4, and 6, it says this. It says, as it is written in the book in the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of the one in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Listen to this prophetic declaration he makes over these people. He says, every valley shall be filled, Every mountain and every hill shall be made low. The crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And listen to this. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Here's a man that could have spoke down to anybody he wanted to in that wilderness. Right, the sins that they had committed, he didn't commit. You know, he probably had the rights to set in a kingdom. He didn't set in a kingdom, he set in the wilderness. Wearing clothing made out of camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey. See, John the Baptist seen the importance of reaching those that were in the wilderness. See, everybody that was in the wilderness more than likely was cast out from civilization. You know anybody in your life like that? Maybe somebody in this church that, they just kind of disappeared. Maybe they got themselves in their own situation and you know what? Forget about them. Listen, I'm hoping that through today's message, God brings somebody back to your remembrance. God lays somebody on your mind that when we leave here today, you call them up and you prophetically feed into them encouragement. So today, as I'm up here getting prepared, Desiree comes up to me and she says, John. I said, yeah. I said, what? And they're like, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to meditate and go over. And they're, you know, talking. And TK, he's up here and he wants to know what I'm doing. When did you learn how to play guitar and all this stuff? And I said, I didn't. I'm still trying to learn. And so she comes up and she says, hey, Pastor John, is there a Laura that goes to church here? I said, I don't know. Laura. So I don't know. So if you're a Laura, just know this is for you. Maybe you're online listening. Maybe you're out here. She says, when I was sleeping last night, God gave me a vision of this girl named Laura and told me I need to pray for her and encourage her. Listen, she doesn't know who Laura is. I know that when you're laying around in bed at times, somebody pops into your mind and you think, that was probably my imagination. No, that's a divine appointment. That you can reach out to that person, you can call that person, and you can say, listen, this is what God said. I may be crazy. Listen, John the Baptist was crazy. He walked around eating locusts. But when he spoke, people listened. Listen, somebody just so happened to be sitting around one day and said, you know what, I need you to call John. I need you to contact John. And when they did, it made huge improvements in my life. Listen, John's legacy wasn't built on the fact that he was a pastor of a mega church. His legacy wasn't that he was the spirit of Elijah or that he was a prophet or that he was the second greatest man ever born on this earth besides Jesus Christ. Listen, John's legacy was the fact that he was humble, and out of that humble nature was born compassion. Listen to me, without being humble, there's no way you can be compassionate for those that are lost. But John had this ability to reduce himself and to be humble enough that there was this amazing compassion that just bled out of him. And not only did it bleed out of him, but people, it said that multitudes come out to see him, right? He wasn't dressed all nice and neat, and he didn't have the finest of things, but people sure did flood out to the wilderness to be baptized by this guy. Listen, church, you don't have to have the greatest speech, right? Look at me. You don't have to have the biggest house or the grandest things to be able to draw people to Christ. All you have to do is be humble. Be humble and have compassion for the lost. Listen, in the words of Mac Davis, anybody know who that is? Yep, look at it. Yeah, I got you. In his words, let me read you this. First of all, let me read you this. Pride will rob you of your compassion for those of lesser status and what you feel like you are. Listen, in the words of Mac Davis, he says this, "Oh, Lord." Everybody say, "Oh, Lord." No, that was weak. It's got to have like a little country twang. Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord. So Somebody had some gravel in their throat. You hear that? Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking every day. To know me is to love me. I must be quite a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. He was a humble fellow, wasn't he? Church, if you're going to be effective in evangelism and winning the lost, we must know who we are, right? Right, John knew that the power that he held. He knew the influence he had. But he knew he wasn't no better than any of us. Right, I stand up here. My title means absolutely nothing, Pastor Keith. Pastor Jeff's title, Pastor Keith's title, your title means absolutely nothing. Listen, when we go out to that skating rink and we walk in, I wore a shirt that said Pastor John for probably 2 years. Half the time, kids wouldn't have anything to do with me. See, that title meant absolutely nothing to them. But the more persistent I was, and the more that I showed them that I loved them, my actions become my title. Now I walk into that skating rink and I can hear them say, "Hey, Pastor John! Hey, Pastor John!" See, it's not just a title. Church, when people see you, who do they see? Right? Do they see John the builder? Do they see John the youth pastor? Do they see Jeff the pastor and Jeff the amazing musician? Or do they see somebody that is so humble in their life that they know that they would reach out and do anything for them? Church, many times in this world, we'll be walking along, clipping along, and no problems whatsoever, and wake up one day and be in a spot that is so tough that we want to give up. In this church, you may be in here today, right? It's hard to see it. You can't see it. It's a battle in the mind, right? Oftentimes, we're so busy, we're on this road of redemption, and everything's good and great, and we're passing through, and we forget about the shadows of the people that are still laying in the wilderness. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when you go down Choctaw Road here and you get close to I-40, if you look deep enough in the woods, you know, there's a group of people that live in those woods. I didn't see it for quite some time. You know why? Because I was so caught up in my own path that I failed to look off the beaten path and see those that were hurting. My sister has this ministry that on Christmas we go out and we give presents out and gifts, and some of you guys have been involved in it. Christmas morning we get up and we go out. My sister, she's a cute little petite thing. She drives up to these really rough areas. We'll go behind these buildings, won't be anybody in sight, right? Nobody around, and she'll pull up and look off into the wilderness and she'll blow her horn. Mm-hmm. That's a good horn, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. She'll beep her horn. You know what? She's a voice crying out into the wilderness. And out of the shadows, because somebody decided to stop. Somebody decided to be humble enough to have compassion for those that can give her absolutely nothing. Out of the shadows, there will be multitudes of people rushing out. Right? And they'll come out and they know her, right? They know her. They've seen her enough times that they know her. She's giving them food and they just know that's her horn, and here they come. Listen, church. Trust is a hard thing to win these days. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of deception. Everybody wants something. Right? I can't even get a free video on Facebook without getting an ad thrown in my face. Right? Somebody's going to give me something for free. Yeah, right. And so sometimes you may say, "John, you know what? I've tried that whole thing. And then people, I've already given them the Word of God and they won't listen to me. It's just not worth it. It's a lost cause." Listen, I can tell you, perseverance goes a long way in winning their trust. Church, who are you? I'll tell you who I am. I'm not John the Builder. I am a builder. I'm not John the youth pastor. I'm a sinner. Keith, I was the wretched man. I'm a sinner that is saved by grace. I'm no more than that. I'm a sinner saved by grace for the very purpose to be a voice calling out into the wilderness to those that hadn't found that path that I have found. They asked John, they said, John, who are you? He said, now this is a testimony of John when the Jews were sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Church, listen, you're not Christ. Listen, you can't make anybody do anything. You can't heal anybody. You can't get them out of their addiction. See, one of the things that I've made a mistake of in my life is when I prayed people into salvation is I thought that I was going to fix them. There's somebody close in my life, and this part drives me nuts, but there's somebody close in my life I was going to lead to Christ one time. And I said, listen, when you showed up today, showed up an alcoholic, and I named him by name. I said, you showed up an alcoholic. I said, when you leave here today, you'll no longer be this person alcoholic, but you're going to be the redeemed. See, I gave him this perception that whenever you accept Christ, everything is going to be amazing. You're going to be healed. You're no longer going to have these troubles and these problems. You know, really, because of me, I wanted that to be, right? I wanted to know that the impact I had on him literally fixed his life like that. This person left and kind of went back to his life, and I would hear from him on a regular basis, and not long after that, he started slipping back off into his old ways. I don't know what's going through your mind right now, but my mind, I was like, well, didn't work. Right? Didn't work. They're still, what, they're still human? Huh? They still have a flesh that they're living in. They still have a flesh that desires things that's not godly. Listen, when we go to this skating rink, we have all these kids, they come up and they accept Christ and then they go right back into their old lifestyle. You think God would walk away from them and leave them to their own wilderness? No. He says, listen, John, if Paul couldn't do it, he said, listen, I've tried, I'm running this race, I'm striving to make it, but I haven't quite made it yet. So I get back up and I do it again, and I get back up and I do it again, and I get back up and I do it again. Listen, church, when somebody accepts Christ, it may not fix everything in their life just like that, but I can tell you this, the things that you go through and the wilderness that you walk through, those paths will be made straight and those mountains will be made low and those valleys will be made level, and you'll walk. You're going to make it through it. And when you come out the other end, you're redeemed. See, you were paid for with a price. Church, when we attempt to save these lost people, maybe they're not even lost, maybe they're just in a deep, dark depression. You're not Christ. You have to lead them to Christ. Do exactly what John the Baptist did. You lead them to Christ, and Jesus will do the rest. Listen, let's talk about a few different types of wilderness. In Isaiah 34, 10 through 12, the scripture says this. It says, Edom's streams will be turned into pitch, her dust into burning sulfur. Her land will become blazing pitch. It will not be quenched night or day. Its smoke will rise forever. As I was meditating on this, I felt like God gave me this. Listen, this would be a place of constant torment with no rest. Listen, maybe this is you, someone who experiences a loss or betrayal of somebody they love dearly, an all-consuming grief. We see that all the time in the youth ministry. Somebody that was supposed to be there for them wasn't there for them. That dad that was supposed to show up and take them skating didn't show up. That dad that said, I love you, didn't love them. Listen, it creates this grief that is almost unquenchable. The only way out is through Christ. From generation to generation, it will lie desolate. No one will ever pass through it again. The desert owl and the screech owl will possess it. The great owl and the raven will nest there. Listen, when I looked up the word wilderness in the scripture when it was talking about John the Baptist, when it talked about people, when it was referring to people, it said deserted, abandoned, and desolate. Listen, in these areas, these people that feel deserted and abandoned and desolate, their mind is their biggest battlefield. Only negative thoughts and fears inhabit that mind. Right? They need somebody on the outside calling out to them, hey, I'm over here. Listen, come to me. Come to me. This is the right way. They need that voice crying out in the wilderness. This feeling of abandonment often occurs when we place our trust in people and not in God. You ever had that in your life? Boy, my poor wife placed her trust in me. You ever had that in your life that you placed your trust in your pastor? Or maybe you placed your trust in somebody you felt had the gift of prophecy? Or you placed your trust in a family member or a great friend, and guess what? That pastor or that human that lives in the flesh just like you do fails you? You know that feeling of, I can't believe that this person failed me. You feel abandoned. You feel like, you know what? There's nothing else to left to hope for because you put your hope in the wrong place. See, people are going to fail you all the time. But it's only when you put your trust in God that you have something that will never, ever fail you or forsake you. Listen, God will stretch out over Edom and the measuring line of chaos and a plumb bob of desolation. How many of you have ever stared off into somebody's wilderness and said, well, you idiot, here's why you're doing it. Here's the line. If you'll just get on this side, everything will be fine. I look in the mirror and say that to myself all the time. Her nobles will have nothing there to be called a kingdom. All of her princes will vanish away. This last one may be the deepest and darkest of all of them. Those who are deemed by the church, friends, and family to be worthless, hopeless, and a burden on society. Pastor Jeff used a passage of scripture last week. It talked about the demon-possessed man. Right, that was removed out of society, and it said he lived among the dead in the caves. See, they couldn't push him any farther from society without literally pushing him off in the water. Right, they couldn't desert him any more than what they had already deserted him. Hanging out around the dead, people that are civilized don't do that, right? Church, sometimes we have a tendency when somebody falls or somebody is sinning or somebody doesn't look at things the way we look at them, we have a tendency to say, you know what, and it's out of a spirit of fear. Right? You're scared that this person's going to impact your children. This person's going to impact your life. This person's going to make your world turn upside down. But listen to me, that spirit of fear has no place in your life. The Bible says that He gives you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. See, God will give you wisdom on how to handle that person. God will give you wisdom on how to witness and minister to that person. You know what Jesus did? Jesus pulled up to the bank. He got out and He spoke to it. He spoke to that guy's darkness and he was healed. And you know what that guy did? He went and he changed everybody. The whole town accepted Christ when he come back because of that one man. Who's in your wilderness? Who's hanging out on the side of your civilization? You know, I've tried my whole life to get people saved. Jesus gets one people saved and He wins a whole doggone town. I don't know if you can say doggone in church, can you? Doggone, is that a proper word? Pastor's wife? Speak into the darkness. Luke 3 says this. And with many other words, John exhorted them, the people, and proclaimed the good news to them, to console, to encourage, and to strengthen by consolation, to comfort. See, John spoke things into their life that wasn't yet true, right? It's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. God's going to fill this stuff in. He's going to make a path for you. Listen, church, I beg you to use this gift of encouragement. Listen, your motives must be driven by reconciliation and fueled by love and grace. Without it, don't even try. Without love and grace and mercy in your life, don't even try it. Get your motives right and go out and you begin to speak to people. Have the power of the Holy Spirit on your side. And like I've said before, you'll say the dumbest things and people will come to know Christ. People will see the love of Christ through your actions, not your words. Listen, share your story. We've all been there, right? I could tell you my story and I guarantee you I could get half the men in this room to raise their hand. 3/4 if they were all honest. Listen, the Bible says this, that Satan is defeated by the power of your testimony. Walk softly, church. You know, as a church, we often, as Christians, we often say, you know what? We know the truth and the truth will set them free. We just got to get out there and we got to tell them the truth, Keith. We got to tell them you're a sinner. We're going to do a little experiment here today. All the men, I want you to look at your wives. We're going to speak the truth. We're going to look at your wives and tell your wife, honey, you're 5 pounds overweight. Huh? John? Pick yourself up off the floor. Don't hurt him. Right? Pastor Jeff has this saying. He says, listen, John, you play way too many notes. The best note sometimes that you play on that guitar is the one that you don't play. Oh, man. But it's the truth, right? Listen, I would venture out to tell you this. Sometimes the most powerful words that you're going to say are the words you don't say. Your wife already knows she's 5 pounds overweight. You don't need to tell her. You know the bondage you'll be in when you come back? Listen, if you've ever been lost in the woods, I have been. It's dark, scary. You listen with your whole body. Every hair is standing on edge. Every time something brushes up against you, you know you're ready to knock something out. My wife, sometimes I'll tap her in the middle of the night. Shpow! Just joking. She don't do that. But Peyton, on the other hand, you walk around the corner and scare that kid, you're getting punched in the teeth. I got a fake tooth right here just because of it. I do have a fake tooth, but it wasn't for that. Listen, in this area, the spirit of fear operates extremely strongly. You will want to give up on these people. Right? It's going to seem like everything you say is rejected. Everything you do is in vain. But in this situation, persistence and being approachable will truly pay off. You'll win their trust, and I'm telling you, you'll walk them out of that wilderness. Be the landmarks when the sun rises. I was going to tell you a story, but we're running out of time. It's a good story, too. Maybe next time. Oh, somebody said, let's take a vote. You want to hear a story? No. John 10 and 40 says this. It says, then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a sign, All that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. Church, be persistent. Be kind and loving. I'm telling you, one day Jesus will show up and they'll believe, and you'll be the cornerstone that they look at and they say, I recognize that. I recognize what Gary was telling me about Jesus. That's the truth. And because of what Gary told me, I believe in this guy named Jesus, and they'll accept Christ. For those of you that are in the wilderness today, I'm going to read you a scripture of encouragement. And then we'll close with this. In Isaiah 35, starting with verse 3. Church, this part's for you. It says this. It says, strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. You see the prophetic encouragement? He will come with a vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Those of you that are in the wilderness, listen to this. Then will eyes of the blind be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Listen, water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where the jackals once lay, grass and reeds will grow. Listen, a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. Listen, God's going to take your desert. God's going to take your wilderness. And He's going to make highways for other people to find Him. Listen, a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. And it will be for those who walk in the way. I'm going to jump to verse 10, and it says this, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads, and gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sight will flee away. You guys stand with me.